I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cry if I want to.
Oh boy. You have been crying since about 7:30 PM.
But I'll cry if I want to. You know what?
Old mate Leslie Gore was thinking of cars.
You would cry too, JT. You would cry too. Hi guys, welcome to another episode of the SC Report. It's Wenin here, joined by JT as per usual. And yes, I will bloody well cry if I want
you
to.
You just needed to get that out of the way, didn't you?
Oh, I wanted 34 points, not ideal after all the big hoopla around Bryce Cartwright last week. But on the positive side,
it was a party. Everyone's coming to the
well,
party.
Everyone was invited except for you. Break even 7 this week, still named in the
will
back row.
It? Will he make it? Touch and go.
Mate, he is... I don't
know. Where were you going with that?
I think you might still be in my 17 this week is where I'm kind of going with that. But yes, what another week. Thankfully, Team List Tuesday hasn't given us too much of a headache in compared to the past. We do have some injuries and a few other things, but we'll get to that soon. What's going on, mate?
Mate, not a lot. You've sped up the M1 again from the Goldie. It's been a bit of tough slog, but I've made it here. We're good to go.
And
you
have
been sped up the ladder though. So
what?
You have sped up the ladder big time though. I gotta give you a shout out there. Imagine if you didn't have cardio though. So you had an absolute killer week. 12-11. So I think you were up the top end of Young Legends, our league there. And
defeated Kirkup, which was nice as well.
He even admitted defeat on the pod.
Salty.
All the rums in the world won't cure that wound. And you are now 1,742nd overall. So
yeah,
well done.
Not bad.
Well done. You'll be back to where I am in soon enough.
And speaking of roller coasters, mate, how are you going?
It's not a roller coaster, mate. It's a very steady climb to the top. As I keep saying, it is a marathon, not a sprint. I got out of the gates far too quickly. Got a stitch after round one. I think it was 400th or something. And I've just gotten back now to just about 5,500th. Nick Kirkup.
Exclusive release on the podcast. Just received a text from Nick Kirkup. We haven't blown up at him yet, but... a few ideas about the banner.
What could be
happening on this podcast is Nick and I texting back and forth to agree on who the banner is going to be, because the banner has been unbelievable this year. Got turbo last week, 50 points, only played half a game with a hamstring. This week, there's probably about 3 or 4 guys that Nick and I are gunning for, and I have a feeling that the banner's going to win again.
I think, there's only one person I've got in my mind, and I don't want you to do it, and I'm sure you don't want to do it, but...
What, Ockenball?
That's the one. You will literally destroy, you will crush the hearts.
Ockatron.
How good did he look, David? Seriously.
Yeah, but what...
He's banner material right there.
If
you are going to be consistent, you go after these big scoring guys that everyone jumps on.
Yeah, but, there's a rule.
What the rule? As long as they're not in your team.
Exactly.
Standard.
All right, JT, what are we drinking tonight?
Well, we haven't put this one up on the pod. Maybe we will later, because it's the last time we'll ever have
It's just the horrible beers just continue. We need a good beer.
But this one is cold. So that's a slight step up. It's not doing much.
I don't mind this.
This is a nice mango beer from Matzo's Broom Brewery.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I've had their chili one. I just could not stomach that. But hopefully we'll have a nice beer to talk about in the next couple of weeks. But tonight we are drinking the mango beer from Matzo's Broom Brewery. So
fruit salad in liquid form, mate.
I'm okay with it. It's good. I've just been to the gym. I need, you know, a little bit of a fruit tingle to go after. It's good.
Looking well, mate. I bet the Broncos might get you. If you hang around Red Hill creepily enough,
yep,
and long enough, I do. They might call you up there.
I do.
Confuse you with
Spot of Wilf every time.
You guys by the same bushes every week, right? He's a consistent fellow, old Wilfred.
All right, so A quick shout out to our boy Semi, who welcomed a new boy into the world this week. So congrats there, mate. So you'll be taking over captain duties this week.
Yep.
Captain JT. Ahoy, matey.
Well, I'm not looking forward to that. I have no doubt I'll make a shit call and I'm going to hear every second of it.
Poor Sammy, just bite back like Wilfred on Facebook. It's all right. Young Legends League, 40th overall. It's good. We're coming hard. And if it wasn't for Tom Sangster, I reckon we'd be in the top 10. But, oh well, all good. And then my mate.
The Nick Kirk. Slipped a little, but not too far.
Still in the top 500. So credit where credit is due. Not only is he still in the top 500, but he did regather his fishing gear.
If anyone listened on Sunday night, conclusion of the story is all is well. He's not been arrested. He's good. He's got everything back under control.
Only half a dozen mistakes. That's good. New record.
Half a dozen runs. Yeah, good on him. It's a great pod.
All right, so the usual for tonight, we'll go through team news and then our three key points of the week. And then we're going to close out with our unpopular Supercoach opinion of the week. But to start with, had a few requests to try and to wrap up what the current stake bets have been at the moment. Surprisingly, I'm featuring in all of them.
You are a very generous man, mate. I cannot thank you enough. So why don't we start with the one that's actually on the board already. I've chalked up a victory. Not much else going on in the NRL Supercoach world for me. But I obviously beat you last week. We announced that one on the pod. So I had Hodgson plus 20 versus Cook last week. Thank God it wasn't this week, or so I should say round four. So we got the job done for me in round three, and I'll be taking my Johnny Ringo's crumb steak very shortly.
Yeah,
thank you.
I'm more than happy to do that, mate. I'm more than happy. And
what are the ones we got going on?
Well, apart from Hodgson just pumping out a 30-odd last week, the ongoing one at the moment, so I've got a couple. The first one's with Joe, and it's your boys, the Cowboys versus the Bulldogs, to see who finishes on top. I've taken the Cowboys. He's taken the Bulldogs. It's not looking good for me at the moment. They've been horrible.
Be cruel to the finish line. Who will get the wooden spoon?
Absolutely. And then we've got two with Wilfred. I do. So both with Matto. So spooking Matto before the start of the season and decided to put a couple of stakes on it. First one is Matto versus Nathan Brown, total points. Not touching wood, I think that one's looking pretty good at the moment, given Brown's injury. And then the other one is Matto to average over 60 for the year, which is also probably going to be touch and go for the year, but looking okay at the moment.
Mm. What's he at now?
That's a good point. So 68.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's doing well.
Well, the last couple of weeks have been good for him. That one looks a little safer.
They have. Okay, let's jump straight into the team news. So what's happening? So at the Broncos, there's a bit going on.
So obviously our TPJ rubbed out for what they call the dog shot last week on Cooper Cronk. So he's gone. And the news in today is that they're putting Payne Haas straight back in on the bench there.
Very interesting. I think he trained with the first squad yesterday and looks like he'll be coming in as a late change. Carrigan is the other rookie there. I mean, TPJ owners, you probably hold that for a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those awkward ones where, like, 2 weeks isn't long enough that you're going to miss out on anything by not trading him up, and he's got enough upside there that you're going to sort of want him back when he's there.
Yeah, for Titans, no real changes there except for Cardi is in, my boy.
And I've also lelled it. You did notice my addition on the run sheet there. How hopeless, mate. He'll be there another week, miss 17 tackles, and be demoted to the bench in quick time.
Well, he missed three tackles on the weekend.
That's surprisingly low.
Well, he's been very good.
I thought it must have been he's had some horrible game with errors and missed tackles and everything. And his surefire 50, I think, I'm sure you were saying.
I tell you what, he was not the worst Titan on the field. There were a lot of other ones. He's very fortunate at the moment. He plays in such a shithouse side. Panthers have made a huge change, I think. I think it's a big statement by the coach. Dylan Edwards, after a couple of horrible games, has been demoted, really. Shifted from fullback to wing. DWZ in there. So we'll see where that happens. But that's, you know, that's, I think that's quite a big statement by Ivan Cleary.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was sort of touch and go in the off-season as to who'd get that spot. Obviously, DWZ feels right at home there. So maybe it's just we've got nothing going in this first four rounds. So we need something to spark. And that's the move he's done. So, interesting. I mean, I don't think either of them are a play, regardless of where they are. But you know, sort of a big shift at the Panthers there.
Vunivalu was out suspended for the Storm. And then you got Papali'i shifted to the bench. So he's been a bit of a disaster story this year for anyone that picked him for round one. And then Blair comes back into the starting side in the back row. You've obviously got Tom Trbojevic, which is the big news this week, out with the hamstring, recurrence of that hamstring injury. You know, it's hard to say whether they brought him back a little bit too soon because he was so good in that game in New Zealand, but it didn't last very long in the first game at home. He's out for probably about the next 8 to 9 weeks. That sees Brendan Elliott start at fullback, and then Moses Sully is woken up from his car and he's into the side.
They just park the car at the stadium overnight, sleep in it, get up and
try. Talk about a guy with so many chances, bloody hell. Anyway, Paul Gallen is back for the Sharks. And Woods is out injured. SJ has also been named.
It's not my unpopular opinion of the week, but I think that news makes Andrew Fifita not a great captain option. And that's going to be in the article tomorrow. I think
interesting.
Paul Gallen back, you know, he might be a bit dusty with those ribs, but I just don't think you'll be able to see the same output you saw from Fifi last week, having to lead that pack from the front, especially because Woods obviously got injured during the game, so that, of course, opened up some more minutes there. But I think Gallen back sort of detracts a bit there from Fifi.
Potentially, but Roosters, over the past couple of years and even this year, have conceded a lot of points to front row forwards, conceded the sixth most amount of points this year, and I think they were up around the top three last year. The middle is where you can get them. So, I don't know, I think he's still a good contender for a captain selection this
week. Well, I'm putting it out there, so we'll see. Come Monday, what happens?
Stake bet?
No, I've won my stake, mate. I think you owed me one from last year too, so no, I'm going to rest on my laurels.
Yeah, I gave you a massive round ticket.
I can't whittle you out of that much money, mate. Be reasonable. You've got a problem. You've got a problem.
I do have an issue. I do love steak. Angus Crichton named to start, first time this year.
Yeah.
Starting to look juicy.
Is he finally just, is that whole experiment done of the Willy Wonka?
I think so.
Yeah.
I reckon he was probably maybe a little bit of an injury concern, fitness concern there. Okay now, ready to go.
And I think Cope's mentioned as well, maybe a cultural thing. So he's come to this Rooster side. He's obviously the big name signing. Did he take a little
Cope's
while?
Cope's is all about the culture.
Big culture guy.
He would fit in very, very well at the Titans because they're all about hugging now. And I hear that Cope's is just loves getting around hugging guys.
Getting around the boys.
Yeah, getting around the boys. That did come out that well, but anyway. Sorry, Cope's. And then we've got Corbin Sims out with a broken arm, and Tyson Frizzell is back officially. Was a late inclusion last week. This sees Jacob Host dropped to the bench.
It didn't look like Frizzell missed a beat at all.
Nah,
anyone hoping that, you know, he's going to get reduced minutes and Host, if you're still holding him, is going to come on, and I don't think.
Although he's doing a little bit of the shuffle. He was, you know,
a little bit lopsided.
Yeah. Dylan Napa. He was going great guns until an ankle injury, which will see him sidelined for about 2 to 5 weeks. So I'm just going to check. I think obviously that 10 that he did score on the weekend is going to impact his potential scoring from here out. Just going to have a look at what his current break even at the moment. Break even 46. So he's
he's gotten in a try assist the last couple of games where he went large. Obviously that break even looks pretty lofty. So, I mean, that's to me quite an easy decision. You don't know when he's going to come back. It's that 2 to 5 awkward sort of time frame and very unlikely to keep making your money. So,
yep.
I think there's too many good players now to hold that sort of guy.
And then finally, Tappany is back for the Raiders. However, he's only onto the bench. So, they're still going with that same current back row.
Sutton at lock, and then you got Bateman out on the edge. Not that it really does much to
But you'd think potentially there's a late swap there, but we'll just see what happens. So I think that's it for all the team news, mate. Let's just have a quick break, and then we'll come back in with the our three key points of the week.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's that time again where we're going to cover off the three key talking points of the week. Where are we going to start, JT?
Well, let's start with your one that you suggested for this. So is it time to sell the underperforming, well, we call them premiums here, but maybe they're not. Is it time to sell some of the underperformers for some fallen guns?
Or even some of the cheapies that are coming through, like an Ockenbauer as well. I mean, let's just get straight to the main talking point of the week, probably, which is Sean Lane.
Yep.
And the reason, I guess, why I've raised him, I'm Sean Lane owner.
Yep.
So, you know, he's someone that we picked. I guess I put him in the same category as, say, Madison. Fresh club, expected to see a lot more minutes than what he previously got of consistent minutes. One's gone really well. The other one performed really well for a couple of matches and then has just died off. So I think if you look at Lane, a high 40 score, and then he got 36 last weekend, which is very disappointing. Base has been deteriorating, which has been the concern for me. So I think it's gone from 45 in round one down to low 30s last week.
Yeah, so he's obviously trying to make an impression when he's gone to the new club in those first couple of rounds and got an intercept try. He offloaded to Jennings to score one. So he got a couple of attacking stats and we all sat back and thought, yeah, that's fantastic. This is going to happen every week. This is why we bought him, because he's got that game in him. So now we've got the down weeks, and they're really down because they're just not running the ball to his side. It's far too profitable now looking at the structure of the Eels. You've got Moses there linking with Gutherson, who then links with Takarangi's getting attacking stats. And obviously Fergo on the wing is the big name recruit who gets his hand on the ball almost every set. So all of a sudden they've realised that steering away from Lane has actually been a better option for them, and he's just out there catching a cold.
A couple of reports going around this week, and a few of the guys on Twitter had spoken to me about this that will highlight, but one report is that basically that the coach loves Lane's leadership on the field and wants him to be an 80-minute player, and that potentially means sacrificing how much work he's getting through, maybe pushing him out a little bit wider. So, yeah, really, really relying on those attacking stats, but we're dropping down in base. So that's concerning. The other thing is Dylan Brown not being there is, for me, a big concern.
Yeah, I've seen a little bit about that, and I don't really understand that thinking. Dylan Brown is an 18-year-old half, right? Yep. He's not the linchpin of
But those two connected so well.
Well, we've got a two-game sample size there when they were connecting well.
Yep.
And then obviously Brown's was out last week. But I don't know, I don't think you can put it down necessarily to the fact that Brown's not there, that all of a sudden Lane's going to go cold. But yeah, that's a good point in terms of them managing his workload. Because if you look at his last couple of games, like very little running of the ball, he would make his tackles when he needed to. But if you look at that Roosters game from round three, he got shown up big time by Teddy late in the game.
Yeah.
And that was, when I step back and look at that, I think maybe he's not the 80-minute player we had assumed he was based on that. But if you're saying the coach genuinely wants him out there for that period, that's actually quite a big news.
I think so. But it's concerning when you've got a player that does rely on attacking stats as much as he does, but the base is decreasing. So I could cop the 45 base each week or 40 base each week on the assumption that there's probably going to be a line break there, a few offloads.
Eventually, it's going to come.
Something there, right? The other thing I just want to point out, having a look at the first four games so far, first two games are against the Panthers and also the Bulldogs, two clubs which have struggled for the majority, the majority of this season. And then the 2 weeks, and the last 2 weeks, they come up against the Roosters, which are probably the premiership favourites, and then the Sharks, which have also been very solid this year too, except for last weekend. So that is, if you look at that, that's a bit concerning for me. Bit of a, maybe a downhill scare, performing well against the weaker sides, and then goes missing a little bit against those top-notch sides. And if you look at what they've got coming up, the Raiders away, and the Raiders have been really, really impressed me. I told you on the weekend, I said, geez, the Raiders are a sneaky top four side, I think. Then you got the Tigers, they're a bit up and down. Knights, I don't think they're yet to win a game.
They've won once.
And then you've got the Dragons, yeah, 50-50. And then you've got the Storm, which are just the super coach killers. And then they've got the easiest game of all time against the Cowboys.
I'd have no comeback to that. Yep, continue.
So my point being is they're probably their fixture coming up doesn't appear to be that hard. But it is a little bit concerning when his poorer performances have been against the better sides.
So to sort of round this one out, we're saying that that's enough evidence for you to say that it's time to give him the flick. Because that's what we're coming back to here, right? So we're trying to work out, is the time right now to start looking at some of those guys that you expected a little more out of? Is it time to let them go and go to, as you said, maybe an Ockham board, just an easy trade-in? You've got to do it this week, so why not get rid of someone who's going to give you a stack of cash?
Yep.
Or you go and look at, say, a fallen gun. So someone that you expect, because Lane obviously is not at that level where you would say if for certain he's going to get back to a 600 plus K sort of play, you know, 60 plus average.
Yep.
But then you get other guys in there that are maybe not performing this week, but you know, based on their pedigree in the game and their history, that they're bound to be back there at some point.
I would be shocked if Lane was the biggest issue on people's teams this week.
Yep, that's a fair point, given all the injuries. And
all the injuries, all the cheapies that are happening. If you don't own a cheapie that is a viable sell, so what I mean by that is if your cheapies include Mr. Bombastic himself, Alan, who's still got some price to go, Nicora, all those boys. The only one, the obvious one there is Garrick, who has a break-even of 18. All the others have negative break-even, so they've still got a fair bit of cash to go. Then potentially you'd think, well, maybe laying down to Ockenborough makes sense. But I don't know. He's priced at 8K less now than what he started the season at.
So it's not a huge drop.
It's not a huge drop, and his break-even is 90, and there's every chance that he could do that.
Yeah, and we'll actually get to that in my sort of unpopular opinion to round this conversational lane out, but yeah, I mean, the potential is there. And that's the big risk when you get a guy like Lane who's underperformed in attacking stats for a couple of weeks, and base, obviously.
Yep.
But you've got him in your side for that attacking ceiling. And if you're giving him the flick because he hasn't delivered that over 2 weeks, huge risk that this is the round he finally goes big and justifies why you're there.
Yeah, I think there's plenty of points in him over the next couple of weeks. Attacking stats are coming, so...
Yep.
You know, 2018 Wenen would sell.
Hmm.
2019 Wenen is going to hold.
The longer you hold, though, the more you just get so caught up in the fact that they're due and that this is the week. The longer you hold, the harder it ever becomes.
Well, I'll definitely hold until round 12. He plays that first buy.
Yep.
And then after that, I'll reassess. But I think, you know, there's going to be a couple of 70s coming up, which are going to bump his score back up. So I'd be shocked if he wasn't priced around about 500K come round 12.
It's not like he's going to lose you 200K or something.
Exactly, kids, yeah. Like, I mean, and the carrying someone like a Lachlan Fitzgibbon that I'm doing
is... I was about to bring him up. I want to talk about him.
So I've got him as well. So to carry... it is a bit. So I started the season with both these guys who I thought, it's rocks and diamonds, right? So I've got... Fitzy, who has been pretty horrific over the past couple of weeks and is very similar to Lane. Base is almost identical and relies heavily on attacking stats. So to have both of these guys underperforming in the same side is a big, big risk. But then in saying that, they could both go big as well.
Mm. And especially now, he didn't get a lot from Ponga last week, but obviously KP's now back at fullback and has the ability to strike up the combination that they did last year. So I think if you have a guy like Fitzgibbon, yes, he's been pretty stock standard. You said, I think, dreadful or something, but he's still hit 40 plus every game. And I mean, compared to, you're not getting 30s or anything, and it's not ruining your week. It's just not where you expected it
to be. It's coming, I think, because if you have a look at what he did last week, 54 base points.
Mm. Obviously assisted
There's been not that much. And even the week before was 47. So there's been marked improvement each week.
Mm.
And the only thing that did annoy me is that they seem to cut him out a fair bit. But Ponga being there, and we've just seen, speaking about Ponga, we've just seen some news that looks like he's going to New Zealand for the weekend, but will be there for the game on Sunday.
I think it's tomorrow he flies, or he might already be there, but he'll be back for a training run on Friday. So
yep.
Fake news.
Our boy Stilesy was all over that, so well done, mate. So Fitzy is probably in the same bracket to Lane. I'm going to hold both. The only reason, I mean, Fitzy for me, if he doesn't perform in the next couple of weeks, I'll ditch him. He doesn't play around 12.
Hmm. So is there anyone on your radar, though, who you are worried about getting completely out of reach that may be aligned with Fitzy's price right now, say around that 500k mark, where you think this is an easy switch? I'm going to go from a guy that's on the downhill slide but might go back.
Yep.
To a guy that's clearly on the rise, and within maybe a couple of rounds, he's 100k more.
Yes,
the way that they're
probably
going.
Two guys there that strike me. First one is James Fisher-Harris, who's been phenomenal this year at lock. So he's played round one and round four at lock, and I think he averaged 65 base points per game. The two down games are where he played on the edge. Now he's got Yo, and he's got also Kikau back. The only question mark, and it was raised well by Copes and also Wilfred the other day, is that, is he still likely to get the 80 minutes per game with those two edge forwards there who will play 80 minutes?
And I think you saw last year, so I actually bought JFH in midway through last year. I think he was doing something similar. So he was getting quite big minutes and even jagged a few attacking stats there. But obviously he's got a great base game. But then he ended up getting the 40 to 50 minute games. So you'd go hell for leather in the first half hour or so, get subbed out, come back in late in the game. And then he plateaued at like 50 points. So it's one of those things. You look at him, and as he is right now, you wouldn't question that if that was
the case. I love the potential. 500K, he's a guy that I'll, again, the break even is 48. So
he's not like meteoric.
No, we're lucky, I think, to have another look at him this round.
Another look.
The other one is Alex Twile, who's been fantastic. So I think he's been averaging 60 the last couple of weeks. Stacked forward pack last weekend, and they've also done the same. So this week they've dropped Taylor. Eisenhuth is there onto the bench. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see what happens in the rotation this week. There's four forwards on the bench, no utility. So let's see what happens. I think his break-even's a little bit lower. JT's going to bring that up now. But the other guy is a little bit more expensive but extremely popular at the moment, David Clemmer. So even though he's 60K more, he's potentially going to be a 640K player.
Yeah. And unlike a guy like Twile or JFH, you kind of know where his minutes are going to land.
Yep.
So he's hit the hour-plus mark.
But is it sustainable?
In terms of what he's going to be able to do on the
output, yeah.
Well, I don't see why it wouldn't be. Like, he was brought there to be the spearhead of the pack. He was sort of the last puzzle piece.
On $1 million a year or something. He's getting
something crazy. But so he's obviously getting paid to perform. So there's not many other guys in that team that I think can do that kind of job. You've got Glasby, the Safidi brothers there and all that. I don't think they had a guy as premium a front rower as Clemmer to do that job.
Absolutely.
So I don't think it's ever going to be, at this stage, a case of we're going to manage his minutes throughout the year. Obviously, he plays Origin.
Well, I mean, Lockie Fitz has been the big dog for the last couple of years, and that says it, right?
I don't know about big dog. But
well, he's been the main man in the pack, and you've got Clemmer that comes in and it's just outstanding.
Hmm. So yeah, I think the work that he does on the field, it's not like he's getting crazy attacking stats. I think he's doing exactly what many people expected him to do this year and doing it well.
Well,
so,
yeah.
In terms of, we're looking at guys like JFH who are playing these 80 minutes, and Etoile, as we've mentioned, I don't think they're sustainable, or if not, they're more of a risk than a guy like Clement.
And I've been thinking about, say, trading a lane to a JFH this week after looking at the stats. But for me, I just can't get around how sideways it is. Lane can pump out a 70 this week, and then JFH can pump out a 60.
Mm.
I don't know. It's just there is that risk. Whereas Clemmer, if I was to upgrade to Clemmer, I can see Clemmer potentially averaging 60, 65, limited risk there. Yep. Based on what we've seen over rounds 1 to 4, and probably you got a more consistent player. But the downside is that he doesn't play round 12.
Yep. And that's something you ought to take into consideration. And that's, we're going to get to that point in our key points here about the buy planning. But definitely something you need to start factoring in when you're making these trades. So you kind of almost need to think of it like, if I'm bringing in a guy who's either playing Origin or isn't playing the first buy, is this going to mean that I am going to have to carry him over that time? Or am I going to get him in for a short term and trade him to someone that's going to get me through that buy period?
Yep.
So you need to sort of make that call now. Is this guy a long-term buy for you? Or are you just chasing short-term gain, like a price rise or something like that? Or is he playing a couple of really soft teams coming up? Something like that. Whereas I think you're exactly right. I think JFH, or lane to JFH, is very sideways. Because JFH right now seems to be, I think, probably at his peak in terms of what he's going to do on the footy field. Whereas a guy like Sean Lane has had a couple of dreadful weeks, but we know what he can do.
And there are rumours that he was quite ill last weekend too.
Yeah, I heard a little bit about that from Copes, I think it was. But
yeah,
so
a bit of a crooked gut on some forums as well, they said. So maybe that. So I think you just got to hold, I think, our final.
Was he
conclusion.
On the Waka Changi Lungus? Last
I felt pretty damn good after that. So I think my thing is, I think hold. Someone like a lane for now, only be trading these guys if it's up to a genuine keeper.
Yeah, don't go sideways.
Don't go sideways, or if it's down to, say, an Ockenbar.
Yeah, and obviously that's an unreal situation we found ourselves in so far this year, the premium cheapie.
All right, so number two, what is it?
When should we, so we've kind of talked about it here, but when should we cull the cows? So I think in this instance, we're talking about your cheapies. You started the year with like your Garricks, who are now at that sort of 300K price range where a couple of dud weeks is going to see them either stagnate or start losing cash. And that's, you just can't cop that, I don't think, at this stage of the year when there's so much movement in the trading world. I think as soon as you start seeing a guy that's seems to have plateaued, like he's not getting the attacking stats, his break even's huge, I think that's when you need to start considering giving him the flick.
Yep, I agree.
But just on that, Ruben Garrick's break even is what, 20?
Yeah, 18.
Like that. And as a winger, I'm just going to caveat what I said about Garrick there. As a winger, he is, every two or three games likely to fall over the line. And all of a sudden, there he's got another, 50K to make.
Yeah,
with his rolling average.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He is not a sell this week.
The guy I'm thinking of, Thomas Flegler.
Yeah, so let's finish off on Garrick.
Yep.
He is not a sell this week, right? However, if it means that the difference between you getting somebody like an Ockenbar who has a break-even of negative 100, you just have to go early.
Yep. But, I would like to think that people have more issues in their team than, say, Ruben Garrick, and that's the only way that they can get an Ockenbury.
Only way that I can get him.
Well, there you go. You've done well. So, we'll see. So, obviously, you're making that move.
Yeah, as I said, the guys, and this is probably going to be a pretty consistent centre wing for majority. I started with Sherry, so he's the one that's the only one that's a little bit different. But... I've got Ravalawa, Nikora, and Allen. And none of those guys are people that I'm going to be wanting to trade in my centre wing. And then in my second row, I've got Fitzy, Murray, and Burr on my bench. And Burr's got a negative break even, so I'm not going to be trading him out.
Yep.
Plus starting at lock again. So to me, Garrick is the one that just makes sense.
Yep.
He's gone up in price by 120K. You know, I think always the golden rule is a trade's worth 100K.
Yeah, we do live by that.
So, you know, that's over that mark. And for the means, you couldn't possibly go, no, I'm not going to trade Garrick in because potentially he's got an extra 50 to 60K to make to forego to get Ockenburg in.
Yeah. No, that's sort of a no-brainer there if you're left in that scenario. But it's when everyone talks about their second row, but how stacked is it this year?
Yeah,
I was seeing who I could possibly get rid of to get Ockenburg, and thankfully I had there was some dud in my centre wing that I was able to flick, but Thomas Flegler I flicked to get Ockenburg in. And so I think we're now going to talk about some of the cows. So Flegler, probably not how we all envision that sort of ending. We were hoping for, you know, a bit more 30s and 40s. He got that one sort of big game against my team.
Yeah, he's still got some time. He's still got a bit more to go.
A little bit. But it's one of those things where, unlike a winger, he doesn't have the opportunities that they do too.
And the concerning thing for me is if you're going to look at that Broncos bench, if Haas does come on, you're going to have Carrigan, Haas and Flegler on the bench, three middle forwards.
Yeah, where who moves for who?
Yeah, like how that rotation's going
to
be.
Gillett's now seems to be.
He's on the edge, playing 80.
He's going to be chewing up the minute.
So I don't know what's going to happen there. Like I don't know. I think he's going to be capped at around about the 20 to 25 minutes. So I'm looking at maybe upgrading him this week.
It's not like he's not an urgent sell. Like he's got a 60 or 70.
But slow cow.
In terms of upside, and that's what we're all looking for here. He doesn't have.
I think his job security is quite good on the basis that Carrigan will go out when you'd think will leave when TPJ comes back. So that means Flegler could just sit on the bench there for a while.
Yeah, but then again, when you're tossing up between these sort of guys, you're looking for that benchy that you're unsure of the minutes and he's put up quite a few 20s and 30s. So I don't think you're losing too much going there. One interesting one I wanted to bring up was Luke Garner.
Yep.
So everyone obviously jumped on this guy a couple of weeks ago and he was killing it. He had that shoulder burner in the game against the Warriors, I think it was. Correct me if I'm wrong. But he got that burner and he came back sort of midway through the game, got the try, saved himself a little bit there. But then last week he was ordinary. And he, I think, finished on, was it 28 points? So he ran the ball three times last week. He was super uninvolved. And that's the kind of thing that completely derails a cow's cash-making ability. And, I mean, he's one of those guys, he's not got the worst break-even right now, but he hasn't got the upside that you need to say that I need to hold him for the long term.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the price calc now and NRL Supercoach stats, so if he was to score 45 this week, that would see his price rise by about 5,000 and then finish with a break-even of 44. And then next week he's got a pretty minimal price rise. So whilst he's, arguably still got maybe another 40K left in him of price rises to go, now is definitely not a bad time, I think, to offload.
No. And you've made 80K off him, one more week, maybe he gets a 50 or something, and he gets you up there towards that 100K that everyone sort of wanted. And I mean, I think you're looking at Maddow now settling in quite well. At the start of the year, everything was going to Garner, whereas now I think Maddow's sort of stamped his authority on that side a bit, especially with Garner being injured or carrying that injury the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, so he's probably one that if you need to get rid of a guy for one of the gun cheapies over the coming weeks, or him to upgrade to like a Reece Martin or an Angus Crichton or someone like that, then I would definitely be doing it. Mm.
You know, it's a good trick though, and we bring this up every week, using the price tool on the NRL Supercoach Stats website. So in this game, you need to think long term. We don't often do it, and you carry these guys because their break evens, 15 this week, so that'll be fine. And then come next week, all of a sudden it's 70 or something, because the winger that scored you 80 a couple of rounds ago, all of a sudden that score is rolled out, and this guy's all of a sudden a trade. Like I'm thinking of a Sivo or someone like that that everyone's sort of rolling off the back of those couple of big scores. But so I think it's a genuinely good tool to use when you've got all these cows, and everyone does in their side. Just go in and plug the numbers. So expect, what do you expect from this guy over the coming weeks? Just run the numbers. See when are you likely to have to make these trades. Do up a spreadsheet, whatever people need to do. but definitely worth going on to that Supercoach stats site and just running them.
Absolutely. All right, so to wrap up here, when should we cull the cows? The key points for me are obviously when they have earned all the cash they can possibly do. So you can figure it out by using that cash calc, the price change calc. When they've got a positive break even and you've got a golden rookie that you need to downgrade to,
yep.
Do it. Or if there's a stud that's just ridiculous value you need to upgrade.
Yep.
But apart from that, you just hold them until you can milk them for all they're worth.
Absolutely.
Okay, the next one, number three, is it too early to start buy planning, JT?
Never. Never too early to start buy planning because it basically sets you up for the rest of the year. It is a huge...
although the buy planning has become a little bit less of a
focus.
Well,
over the last, yes, because they've obviously now only got the two buyers as opposed to the three that they used to run with. But I think definitely, last year, I think I ended up with maybe 15 guys or 14 across both buy rounds, and I think I ended up in the top 2k maybe for those two rounds. Absolutely launched me up the ladder to head into the back season, and it might stall you a bit there if you've got a couple of guys that you brought in specifically for the buyers that you find difficult to offload. But if you can shore up that sort of presence in your side now, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, no, I agree. And I do think that is never too early to start. However, it's also not worth missing out on a gun or an undervalued gun because of that.
Yep.
Yeah. So a couple of great examples at the moment. You look at Angus Crichton, who is as cheap as probably you'll ever get. And then you got a David Clemmer, who's arguably as cheaper as he's ever going to get. Both guys look like they're going to play Origin and be missing.
Yep.
So would you forego those just because they're not playing, or do you need to get on them because at the end of the day, Supercoach is all about scoring the most points?
Yeah. So obviously, especially Crichton, you're looking at potentially a 70 plus average for the rest of the year. So if he misses the buy rounds and you've got some guy in there to replace him who's, yeah, you might be going all right now and you're tossing up between them, but if you're going to be realistic, probably nets you a 50 in that buy round. Is it actually worth missing out on those plus 20 points every week?
No.
And I would say no.
Nope.
So I think when you are generally tossing up between two equivalent players, let's consider, say, maybe, who have we got here? Sean Lane. Not sure if Lachlan Fitzgibbon plays. But something like that. Say, hypothetically, we're going Lane versus Fitzy for whatever reason. And you are looking at those guys at pretty much the same sort of player, and the reason you're getting them in is the same. If one of them was playing the buy and the other was not the first buy, definitely get that player.
Correct.
Yeah. And then even with your cheapies and stuff as well, if you feel like you're missing out on a cheapie or you're going one to the other there, definitely look at the buys. How many have you got playing now? If you can you still do that?
Yeah. So I'll pull it up now. So show buys. So round 12. I'll have 1, 2, 3, because those guys are origin bound. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
That's solid. That's solid standing now. What are we around? Around 5 coming up. It's got 6 or 7 rounds. So anything could happen.
The Cardi party is included in that.
Yep. Yeah. Well, there's your good solid 20 points you might not have even bothered with, but. Good for you, mate. Happy for
but
you.
But yeah, so I think what we'll do anyway is we'll have a, maybe not next week, the week after, we'll just have a focus on buy target players. But no, it's definitely not too late. However, I wouldn't forego value at this stage in the season.
No, absolutely. That's
the key thing. Okay, so there for the three key points. Let's close it out with our unpopular Supercoach opinion of the week. JT, we've already covered this to death a little bit, but might as well give you an opportunity to rant it out. Lane is a hold.
I think I already did kind of rant it out. So that is my unpopular opinion of the week, and it's one that we both share. So sadly, there's no disagreeing on this one on the pod. But to me, a guy like Lane, who has had a couple of down weeks, I think you've just got to ride with it. So the only thing that makes me reconsider that is the fact that structurally the Eels are going away from him in attack, and that's where he gets his points.
Yep.
But all it is one attacking stat to bring those 40s up to, you know, 60 or a 70. And at that point, then there's no need to worry about break evens. There's nothing like that. You've got a guy that's going to play in the first buy for you there. So I don't think, I see a lot of people targeting him as a trade out because obviously he's gone so terribly these last couple of weeks. But again, it's like 2 weeks it seems like a long time when you're looking back and you're going, God, this guy stunk it up for me the last couple. But what did he do in the first couple of rounds? Like he showed his worth and everyone was happy.
And his base wasn't phenomenal, right? 45 to 40. It's not like he's dropping down from 50 base down. You all knew that risk.
Yes, and that's what Cope said on the pod a couple of weeks ago, that you bring these guys in for the hundreds. You don't bring them in to, get the base scores or whatever. So I think Lane, if you've still got him and there's other fires to put out there, he is a definite hold. And you agree. So
I do agree, and I'm just going to have a look at what he did last year in terms of base. And I mean, the only downside that I would say is over the final sector of the season where he really did perform well, he didn't score, nothing was under 40 for a base performance there, and there was quite a few 50s in there. So we want to see that from Lane to get those stats up. We really do. So hopefully he's got it in him. But I think no Dylan Brown is a risk, because I think they're just going to go straight down with Moses and he'll completely dominate. I think there was some stat out there as well that said that it was almost 70-30 down Moses' side as well, with him controlling it. But anyway, I'm going to hold, but one of he and Fitzy will likely have to make way in the coming weeks if they both underperform, and Fitzy will probably be the one to go on the basis that he hasn't played round 12.
And that's because you're looking at?
The buys.
Rhys Martin?
Maybe looking at Reece Martin, definitely looking at Angus Crichton next week. But that's probably a Lachlan Bird trade to Reece Martin, to Angus Crichton next week, I'd say. Okay, my unpopular Supercoach opinion of the week is that Sam Burgess is not a must. Do you agree?
No, but please tell me your reasoning first.
Okay, so my reasoning is, and let's say that I think he's a good selection, but he's definitely not a must-have. Absolutely not a must-have, and you can't be breaking your side to get him in. These prices, 640k at the moment. He scored 4 tries in 5 games. No, he scored 4 tries, I think, in 4 games, which is, that's not going to continue. That's going to dry up. And without that, he's a 50 to 55 average player. And you're not going to be playing, you can't be paying 640k for someone that produces that when you've got an Angus Crichton at 560, I think, and they've also got a Clemmer at 560. There's no way you can be splurging your cash on him or breaking aside for an edge forward that has a base that is not good enough.
But surely by now, everyone has got this guy in. So
absolutely not. I don't.
Well, when I say everyone, I say I don't know how many owners he's got. I'm going to say it's nearing the 40% mark, but anyone who's got him in, let's just caveat your unpopular opinion there. Are you saying that anyone who has him in their side shouldn't be convinced that he's a season-long hold? You might be looking at trading him to a guy like Angus Crichton.
Oh, no. That's not what I'm saying. Okay. I'm saying if you don't own him at the moment, he's not in the top few guys that I'm looking to trade in at the moment.
No, I kind of
agree. I think you've missed that value. He's got a break-even of 91. He's in 47% of teams at the moment, which is unbelievable.
So pod not having him.
It's a pod not having him, but also you're missing out. Like if he goes big, that really does impact you.
Okay. So a couple of things I don't agree with there. Maybe the big one is that you say he's got all these attacking stats and they're not going to continue. But I kind of beg to differ there. I think they might not continue for maybe 1 week out of 4 or 5. This is the Rabbitohs. They're a generally good attacking side. And you've got the likes of Cook at the line there. You've got the likes of Cody Walker, Adam Reynolds. I think attacking points are just going to come naturally to this side. So a lot of people now are saying Cameron Murray, he's getting all these line breaks and he's getting tries and that can't continue. His base isn't great. Same with Burgess. Like he's crossed the line 4 times in 4 games or whatever it is. But they're happening for a reason. It's not like he's falling over the line out of nowhere. Like he's generally going to get the ball that close to the line and 9 times out of 10 he's going to cross.
Mate, he scored 4 tries in 4 games.
Yeah, obviously. It's
4 tries in 4 games.
I think it was it?
Cam Murray's base last week was up to around about 57, I think.
Mm-hmm. So Murray sort of salvaged himself a bit there. But no, I disagree. I think Sam Burgess on out wide is where he needs to be.
It's a value proposition here. $640,000. If you don't own him now, you should not be getting him in.
So, okay, Taumalolo is going to come back.
Yep.
And hopefully, for the first buy round, he's a definite watch there, definitely worth a look. Are you saying, because he's probably at that same price range, and they might shuffle him around in the second row and everything, are you saying a guy like Taumalolo is not a buy either?
Nope, not at that price range.
Really?
No.
They play the buy round.
Not in that shithouse side.
Mate, as soon as he comes back, we are going undefeated. He was raring to go before they dog-shotted him in the Broncos game and took him out. That's the only way that they could beat us, mate. We were undefeated until that point.
Yep, no, not interested. Not interested. There's too much, as you said, there's too much depth in the second row and great value.
But are you overrating Angus Crichton?
I'm not. I would also be a bit off him if he was priced where he started, but he's 560,000.
So, but you sort of need to grab him this week or next.
Sure, but he's the exact same player as a Sam Burgess and so, at almost 100k
okay,
cheaper.
So, in 2 weeks' time, when Crichton, 2 or 3 weeks' time, he is at 640k,
yep.
Are you going to tell people not to buy him?
I don't think he's a I think it depends on what other players are available at that point in time. Some people are breaking their sides at the moment to bring Sam Burgess in.
Really?
Yes.
Sam Burgess, you've seen that.
Going early on a cow to bring him in.
Mm.
He's just, all I'm just saying is not, I've seen so many people out there are saying he's a must. You've got to have him. And I just don't agree with that.
You know, I said no steak bits, mate. And I know you're itching for one. I can see you wanting to take one back off me just to get me at plus one. Burgess v. Crichton for the rest of the year.
From now, average?
From now, average. I'm not doing total points because you'll probably get a bloody injury out of it.
Average?
Yep.
I'm happy to make that bet.
So we're wiping whatever they've done so far.
Yep, from round five.
Average. All right, heard it here first.
Steak bet.
Stakes at Johnny Ringo's coming
up. Well, I'm going to cha-cha-cha, man.
Of course you will. I get stuffed with...
All right, well, I think that's it for the unpopular Supercoach opinions of the week. I think we found one to disagree on. Next week, we'll try and find two to disagree on.
Mm.
But anyway, that is all good. And that is all we have time for this week.
We didn't even crack the hour.
It didn't even crack the hour. 50, but...
this is a miracle.
Yeah, it is what it is, mate.
Anyway, so, and the beers have not gone down greatly. The mango is probably not the best edition, but we got there.
Looking forward to trying a decent beer eventually.
We'll get there.
All right, mate. Thank you very much for joining this week, as per usual. And it's going to be interesting the next couple of weeks. I'm going overseas. Mm. I think you're going up to Cairns. So don't know what's going to happen there, but we'll try and figure something out. But anyway.
Solo Wednesday.
Oh, I don't think people could handle an hour of fishing stories.
Mate, it should be, I'm top 500 for a reason stories. Yeah, what are you?
Bitches, top 500.
Love you, mate.
All right. Thanks, guys. See you later.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.